All right, open your Bibles to the book of Esther. Remember, that's in the middle or before Nehemiah, and then there's Job. It's right in the middle of both. The book of Esther, chapter, where were we on? Chapter 3. Whoop, let me fix this. I didn't fix it right. Chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. Now, last week, we were introduced to Mordecai, and we witnessed how Esther became queen after her life being changed from going from freedom to basically being a concubine or a slave. We saw the difference between her and the ex-queen Vashti, where she was full of pride. But even in these circumstances, Esther was still humble and meek. She didn't go past where she should have. She kept herself, even though the laws at that time, in the Jewish laws, were not supposed to be married to anyone who is non-Jewish. But she had no choice. This was part of the life she led. This was the part of the time she was in, just like we may face something like that. She got favor because she was humble. The Lord had favor in his hand upon her. She became queen. The chief eunuch gave her the best because she was willing to accept wherever she went. She understood, even though God is not mentioned, he is her God and he's our God. We don't hear him, but he's there. And I asked the question, your life could change in a moment of time. I asked you, what will you do if you're no longer as free as you once were? Will your fate stand firm like Esther, or will you ask God why and continue to complain if struggles hit? Because struggles will hit. And it reminds me again of Mike, what's going on with Mike, our brother Mike, with his wife and his son. But even with that, he's still firm in Christ. Yes, there's struggles. He hurts, but he knows his Savior and there's a maturity in that. We want to be mature. Esther was a young woman, but she had a wisdom and a maturity that she gleaned from her adopted father who raised her. Remember the Bible says, train a child in the way they should go and they won't easily depart. He trained her well. We're going to see more of that as we get into part 3. But I ask that question, when the whirlwind takes you and drops you off into a land of silence and you can't hear God, like many people and many martyrs, and especially the one who started the Voice of the Martyrs, he was silent in a prison, but the Lord used him there. What will you do? Will you continue to be like Esther? Will you give up? Will you roll with the punches? And I forgot one important thing last week that was supposed to go with the title. And it's some famous wise words from this man that can be applied to us or even Esther. And it goes like this. When life is too much, roll with it, baby. Don't stop and lose your touch. Oh no, baby. Hard times knocking on your door. I'll tell them you ain't here no more. Get on through it, roll with it, baby. You and me. No one gets it. It's a song, you get it, right? That was the title last week. It was called Roll With It, Baby, and I totally forgot to add that in. Does it bring anything? No, other than maybe a little comedy. But that song in itself is true. You just got to roll with the punches. Roll with it because you don't know what the Lord is doing. And in the end, she became queen. We talked about her name and what it meant. Her name actually just meant a tree, but in the Bible, it means favor. So right here, underlying, we could name our kids something. People could name us something. And then we see the sovereignty in God in that somehow. Her name meant something, and it was, in essence, like a generosity, favor of God upon the people. And we see that happening here. So we're picking it up in verse 19. After Esther's banquet, she became queen. She was the most favored because she was real. She was humble before her God, and she knew her place. Again, Christians, we should know our place, whether in the good times or the bad times, because we never know how things can change in an instant. So we're picking it up in verse 19. And this, of course, talks about Mordecai. So it starts in verse 19. When virgins were gathered together a second time, Mordecai sat within the king's gate. Now Esther had not revealed her family and her people, just as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther obeyed the command of Mordecai as when she was brought up by him. Now in verse 19, we see something interesting. There was a second wave of virgins. Well, what's going on here? It's either before or after, a little bit after Esther became queen. It's possible that they were still searching for a queen, or they were still bringing in women from all the areas of Xerxes' empire, which was vast. But she became queen. They were still there. Needless to say, it's a king. If he wants more concubines and virgins, that's just the way it was back then. He could have said, nah, or add him to my harem. Esther is queen. And it talks about Mordecai being at the king's gate. He was some type of government official. He worked for the government. Keep in mind that the government was wicked. It wasn't a God-fearing government. Does that seem familiar? Yeah. Okay. So a lot of what the Lord brings out can apply to us even today. This is a book written thousands of years ago, but it applies. So the third part we see is Esther's upbringing. She still listened to Mordecai. She understood that she needed someone, and he was a wise man, and they had a great relationship. She didn't tell of her family, and we talked about that, because she wouldn't have been considered for the part of queen, because the royalty only marries nobles or other royals. So she hid it very wisely. Now, that some people could say, well, wait a second, is that lying? Well, no, it's not lying. He didn't offer it. She didn't talk about it. She was hiding it from them or not saying anything because he still accepted her. So it's not necessarily lying. And we might have to talk about that in another episode in this book, because there's the scriptures that the Ten Commandments say thou shalt not lie. And we know that there's a lot of women or even some men in the Bible that have lied. Take, for example, I forgot the lady's name. When Joshua's men came and looked, she lied and said they went the other way. But she put out the, what's her name again? Rahab. Yes, Rahab. And the women should answer that. Yeah. Rahab. Rahab was her name. The what was it? The birthing wives, the midwives during the time of Moses lied. But there's an understanding of that, what is true in lying, and the thing about war and murder. We'll get into that another time. But she was still humble and obedient to Mordecai. She understood his value. That is wisdom at such a young age. She, even though she was queen now, she didn't look at herself as high and lofty. She still remembered where she came from. She still, yes, hid it who she was, but it was a good reason. And I think I told you guys, being a gypsy, I used to hide my lineage all the time. Because when people hear you're a gypsy, how do you explain that? What do you mean, gypsy? Yes, crystal ball. Oh, so you guys do this and that. Whatever. So it's hard to get into that. And I used to hide it because I would be judged. I would be looked upon differently. And of course, right there, there's no such thing as racism. There's bias because we're one race. So there's more bias. You're a gypsy. You're going to steal. You're going to do that. You're going to do whatever. I didn't even tell my own people that I'm a gypsy, because they would want to come and go into some plot with me. And clearly, I'm a Christian. I ain't going to do that. So we have to understand these reasons, and culture plays a part. You don't want to be pointed out, especially during these times. This is the king. If he doesn't put out the scepter, you're dead. You come to him, you're dead. You say something wrong, you're dead. What? You're not royalty? You're dead. Almost trying. I'm trying. Here we go. I didn't silence it. All right. So it's a tough time, and you never know if one of the days we might be in those circumstances. But she kept herself at a young age. She listened to wise counsel. Very important. We've talked about this before. Us here. The Bible talks about confess your sins one to another. Clearly, you're going to go to someone who you can trust, whose trust is earned, and you can know they're not going to go out and gossip. We come together for counsel. I got wise counsel for Debbie. Hey, Deb, should we do worship music or not? And that was wise. And I heard her and I said, we're going to do it. And that's another thing. We all, no matter what age we are, should be able to listen to each other, should be able to glean from each other. Because if you're saved, the Holy Spirit's in you, you can be wiser than you ever thought possible, even though you can be a babe in Christ. The way the Lord's used me so many times, I'm still like this. I'm like, oh, of course, it's you, Lord, not me. I know that. Any one of us, we should always have someone we can turn to, just like Esther had Mordecai. And it's very important, especially in the position she was. We don't know where we will be, but we always want some type of, what do you call it? Not a ball and chain, but a chain that holds us to what? Family, to truth, something that's there for us in a person we see. And she was humble and obedient. and she continued to listen to him. Verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, remember he worked for the government somehow, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigtha and Tirash, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on a gallows, and it was written in the books of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. So when you're looking at the words "in those days," that also gives you a hint of the time frame when this was written. In those days, he still sat at the king's gate. He wasn't elevated to prime minister, as he will be as the story continues. So it's letting us know when this was written, sometime after these events, obviously, because it was saying in those days, sitting at the king's gate. And it was these two eunuchs. Now, what is it with eunuchs? History tells us that Xerxes was murdered by one of his chief eunuchs, one of his captain of the guards. That is in the history books. Why would they want to murder this guy who claims not to have a temper? Although we read about his temper, he says, no, I'm a good guy as long as you don't get on my bad side. That's a temper. Well, these type of kings were very self-centered. He was the ruler of the earth, basically. He wants to upset someone, it doesn't matter. He could have took them off. Who knows what he did to them, but they wanted him dead. And what happened? Mordecai heard it, and of course, the queen, or Esther was queen at this time, and she handed the information over to the king. Now, here's an interesting thing. When you see it says they were both hanged on the gallows, there's a translation there that more than likely means a pole, and their head was hung on top of it. Not hung in the traditional sense, because if you think about the empire at that time, that's what they would do. And that's the meaning of the word in the Hebrew. If it's on the Aramaic side, they chopped their heads off, and you're going to know that when it comes to Haman, because that's what it translates to. And they put it on a pole so everyone could see, this is what happens to anyone who tries to kill the king. You want some of this? It's the first Pez dispenser, I guess you would say. Maybe that's how it came to be. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe. So we move on into chapter 3, where our antagonist is introduced, everyone's favorite, Haman. Now, we're not going to talk about fully the Festival of Purim, but if you like, every time I mention his name, you don't have a pot or a pan, you can go boo or say what you like, just as the Jews do when his name is mentioned. It makes it fun for them, I guess. So we start off in chapter 3, verse 1, after we understand who Mordecai is, who Esther is, Vashti's out of the picture. Of course, King Xerxes is still in here. We're going to find out a little bit more about this man, Haman. Verse 1. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Haggagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. So here we start off, it says, after these things. And a certain period of time has passed. We're gonna see where it actually tells us that. But it says he's a Haggagite. That's just a descendant of the Canaanites. We all know about the Canaanites. They were thorn in the flesh constantly, and they still are. And they are going to be here. So here is a politician or a yes man who found his way up to the president or king of the entire world at that time and made his way up through cunning, divisive ways, maybe killing some of his opponents. But one thing you say about Haman, he was an expert politician to get to that point. Politician, as we know, the higher up you are, more than likely, the more bad you've done. Biden has been a politician all his life, and if you check his track record, he hasn't done anything for anyone. Realistically, he's been in it forever, but has done nothing. Biden pretends to love black people. It's already proven he doesn't, and he said many racist things. It's already proven, and I know this because I've heard it through someone who was there. He does flirt with married women, but he's great up there when he's doing the thumbs up. So if you want to see who can be close to him, it seems wrong, But think about who Biden is, or Biden was, not now, because, I mean, you still got to pray for the guy in his salvation, because obviously he has dementia. What's that?
Don't get off track.
No, it's sort of on track. Thank you. You would look at it like that. He's an expert politician that wormed his way up to the right side of the king, who was gracious, had a terrible temper, was gullible at the same time, and young. So all of those things, and here comes Haman. How you want to imagine him? Go for it anyway. But he was a yes man, a perfect yes man. We have enough of those in our government. That's never what you want, even for your own life, in your own business, in your own friends. You want someone to tell you if you got something up your nose or not. You ever test someone like that? If they told you the truth, maybe you have a nose hair sticking out, guy, something in there. And the person who you really want is the one who will be straight up, hey, you got something in your nose. Here's this napkin. Because it shows a lot of who they are. It really does. You want someone like that, not the yes man Haman in your life. We should always test our friends to a degree as we get to know them. But governments are great with this, and Haman is perfect for the job. Verse 2. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to this great Haman politician. For so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's command? Now it happened when they spoke to him daily and he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. Now, isn't this what the plight of Jews back then, and to a degree even now, and especially Christians? What do you do when you're in a workplace, or let's say you're in the government, which is hostile to Christians, you're in the union, which is hostile to Christians? How do you work? What do you do when you're not paying homage to someone who weaseled their way in? I've heard many stories of shop stewards, people who are in the unions, and even low government officials doing one of these. Because power corrupts, and absolute power, we all know, corrupts absolutely. Clearly, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you do when your belief, your religion is being attacked? What do you do when someone says, I want you working either for Caesar's Entertainment or what's the other one, MGM. I want you to go through a diversity and inclusion training, but after that, I want you to participate in our diversity and inclusion festivals. Take this rainbow flag, which to us represents God's promise to us that it'll never flood the world, and it was hijacked by the Alphabet Club. What do you do? What do you do? You stand up for right. You do what God calls you to do, not man. Remember Peter and, who was it, Peter and John before the Sanhedrin? Don't preach in that name anymore. You know what? Is it better for us to obey you or God? You decide. Oh, you're beating me. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to proclaim God. We all have to fight some way. We have to remember fighting the way God wants us to. But with this, it is no fight. It is a, I will not. And there's where your integrity is. There's where examining yourself and see if you're in the faith or not stands as well. When you are persecuted at your job, you tell them, obviously not a Jew, but you're a Christian, and they still tell you the same thing. What do you mean you're not doing these things? What do you mean you're not sucking up to your boss? Because that happens a lot. I've worked in casinos. The people who suck up the most generally get the best positions because people want to feel special or power. It works on their insecurities, and we all have that. Remember I talked about when I do it in counseling, past, present, and future. It'll affect your walk either with Christ or without Christ if you don't deal with the past that's affecting your present and future. And all of us has gone through something. But you put a person with a low self-esteem and who's bitter and put him in a position of authority, he's going to let it out on everyone else, or she. And I'll give you another example. Back during the AIDS epidemic in the 80s, this lady caught AIDS. So she was really angry. Of course, you get angry. You don't know what to do with that anger. So I'm going to take it out on everyone I meet. She started having sex with men left and right. And one of the men who caught AIDS told his story. And after they had sex with lipstick, she wrote on his mirror, welcome to the wonderful world of AIDS. Now, that is the danger of having inside of you rage and anger. Mordecai, he didn't do this out of, I will not bow down to you. I don't care if the king commandment. Because there's some laws that are made to be broken by Christians that Christians cannot follow. Not every law is just. Not every law is right. And you have to remember that. Do we obey the laws of God or the laws of man? Do we obey the Constitution or do we obey laws that senators and lawmakers make that we know are ungodly and wicked and wrong? And I think a lot of it is in misinterpreting obey the laws of the land. We misinterpret that because we are to honor God in every way, just as Mordecai was honoring his God by not bowing down to a man because they were reverencing and worshiping him. But what do the other people say who don't know the Lord? As they will say to you, why do you follow Jesus? What do you have to pray for? You ever get mocked like that at your job sometimes if you stand up for Christ? You got to roll with the punches as Esther is doing. But will you stand? Again, there's a lot of standing here in the book of Esther. You stand when your life is taken away and you still have faith in God. And you also stand when all is well. We just went past the time of wellness. Esther went through something. She came through it. Her and Mordecai are doing some thumbs up. You're the queen. Hey, tell the king this. We're doing good. I guess we got over that hump. But here comes a bigger one. Here's someone who's working for the king who doesn't like you because you're a Christian. He wants to get rid of you. What are you going to do? Fortunately, it's not at this point, but you never know. The government doesn't like Christians. Facebook sure don't like Christians. And again, like I said, some of my messages are sliced. Not even there. It's usually when I talk about politics or speak some type of truth. So you should expect it. It will happen to us sooner or later if we're Christians, right? Wasn't Christ persecuted? And blessed are those who are persecuted. Should we expect persecution? Well, yes. I mean, if you're standing for Jesus, you're going to have coworkers come to you. Coworkers used to make fun of me and my English friend a lot in the Hard Rock. I told this story a lot. Here are these two sinners coming back to Christ in the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. And then we decide to go with God. You guys, yeah, you guys suck. You don't know the Lord. You guys are phony because we were young. We still had our flesh and we still tried to fight it. We'd ask forgiveness. But as time went on, the character in us showed the truth because it was Christ in us. And we were serious. Then we won them over. Some people came against us. We prayed. They were out. So you always got to keep that in mind. Here is this Haggite or Canaanite who they should have got rid of a long time ago during the time of Joshua. But they didn't. And they're coming back to bite them. You got this yes man trying to get you. You got someone who you may know at your job or just somewhere out there making fun of you and mocking you. And if that's all it goes, praise the Lord. That's a great thing. That's all you get. Again, preachers out on the streets right now, they're getting spit on. I told you about that little girl. Demonic activity is coming out. Even little kids are yelling at preachers and saying bad things. Well, persecution's coming. Because there's this battle right now going on, just like it is in the story of Esther. You got God, his angels, and you got the principalities and their angels. Remember, the more violence there is in history, the more wickedness when it comes to the family and sexual deviancy, the more demonic activity rises. It's just always happened that way. And you got, of course, because you're worshiping them, so they have more power in the land. So he comes against Mordecai, but Mordecai, they're testing him. Wait a second. Let me tell this Haman guy and see what they do. See what this supposed Jew does. Will he really stand for his God? Will he really say, no, I'm gonna do what's right? And that's a test for us as well. You have to ask yourself, will you stand in the day of testing? If someone even tells you, oh no, just write this, and it's wrong. And they know you're a Christian. And I can't do that. You've done it before. Why don't you do it again? Well, I can't. Will they peer pressure you just as they're trying to do to Mordecai? And it's easy. We can stand here in church and be like, I'm strong. It's when you're by yourself is when you're usually tested, when that whirlwind drops you into silence. And that's an everyday test, even with ourselves in our own mouth and our own demeanor. Well, we listen to these voices, they're the only one voice that matters. So Mordecai obviously did stand. They told this Haman, you could say boo if you want. We're gonna follow the Jews now or later. Thank you very much. And they see in verse 5, we'll pick it up and see what happens. Verse 5. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. Wow. Now that's what happens when you're full of pride and you've wormed your way in and you're being used by the devil. Politicians do that a lot. He may have been a friend one day and now he's turning on him because you're not giving me the proper respect I deserve. Because the world tells you you deserve something, right? Especially if you're in a position of authority. Who do you think you are, Christian, not giving me the proper respect? What, you don't want to hang out with us? You think you're better? See, and that's what was going through his mind. You're just a Jew. You're just a Christian. I am a CEO. I am the president of this company. I am the manager. Whatever the case may be. Isn't it odd how that little bit of power can corrupt you to the point where you want to even kill an entire people? And it's interesting also how true this is, although a lot of people more and more are starting to see that the book of Esther is true, how this is exactly what Hitler was doing. And it was trying to happen even more than that. Continually to try to wipe out the Jews, clearly because the Messiah comes from there. And the enemy still wants to do that. Now he backed off a little bit because the Messiah is here. Even though he was in the Second World War, they still play a role. So now what is he doing to the Jews? The Jews are always under attack. And Siobhan was telling me that in Israel right now, they're trying to go back to the old days of the kings, the kings and chronicles, separating Israel to a religious Israel or an Orthodox Jew and a secular Jew, just like they did when it came to Israel and Judah, if you guys remember. That's what they're trying to do again. So that's another part to play when it comes into the end times, especially the aliens that they found. Quote unquote aliens, and obviously demons. Excuse me. I tried. So he wants to kill them. He wants to kill the whole people because he didn't get his reward. That's a dangerous thing. And you're talking about the government. This man represents the government. The people in the cabinet of the government right now don't like none of you. You're a thorn in their side. You're messing up what they want to do with the children. Which is, of course, give them the right to have sex with adults in the end. You're not going to Target just because a devil worshiper had something to do with those transgender baby clothes? You people are so intolerant. You people disgust me. Why won't you let us have fun? Of course, that's Satan talking through the administration and all the people that follow him. Because you see the insanity. See who is in charge right now. We can easily be like these people right here. The more I say these things, the more you're targeted, of course. You're talking about the powers that be, and they don't like to be made a fool of, and they don't like to be called out. And we know that. Just like Haman didn't like to be called out by Mordecai not bowing down, because that called him out. You're no special than anyone else. Oh yeah, look what I did to get here. I got to wipe you out. Just like the Christians are in the way of Shangri-La. They really are. And you can hear a lot of world leaders saying that, quietly, of course, until they actually unload it all. That's where the persecution of the saints come from. Just as it's coming to Mordecai and his people, one day again, it may come to us. But they did stand. Where was I? Oh, yes, he didn't pay him homage. And he wants to destroy all the Jews. He said, it disdains me because I'm too noble and proudful to just kill one Jew. In other words, one's not enough for me to dirty my hands. I need to kill them all. That's, again, arrogance and abuse of power. And, of course, he's going to manipulate the king, as we're going to see. Verse 7. In the first month, which is in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. I got a little slide for you to make it easier because you're talking about the Jewish calendar. If you can see it, this is the way the Jewish calendar does it. There's the Gregorian, Greek, Roman calendar. In other words, it was around January to February, depending if it was the first Adar or second Adar in leap year. So just go anywhere from January to maybe March. Keep it in February. Cut it down the middle. So they're talking about February. If I said that right. There we go. Excuse me. So we see it in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus. So what happened in the third year? Vashti was bad. They looked for another queen. In the seventh year, Esther became queen. And now in the 12th year, 5 years later, after having five good years of peace and being a queen, now there's this crazy guy who just wants to wipe everyone out, just like people want to wipe us out. And they cast Pur, or this is going to lead into it. It's interesting, there's the call the die of Iladi. He was a high official in Shalazar's the third. He was king of Assyria in 858. They found his die, and on this die it had the two words, Pur, or Lot, twice. There was only one that was found, and it gives more credibility to the book of Esther that that's what they actually did. Now, this wasn't about luck. Haman was doing his due diligence with his gods. They were casting lots because it's not a thing rolling the dice and you see it luck. Everyone believed at that time that their gods were sovereign. Just like they had the Urim and the Thurim, just like in the New Testament, they cast lots, basically, or it fell, the lot fell to, what was his name? Ananias? No, not Ananias. That's the bad guy. Mathis. It fell to him. They looked at as God actually answering them. They didn't take it as luck. Just as Haman was doing this, they kept rolling and seeing what is the gods telling us. They said, all right, this is when we are going to kill them. Who's going to replace the apostles? Lord, reveal it to us. Oh, that's what God wants us to do. That's really what it was like. It wasn't a part of luck. Old Testament, New Testament, pagan, non-pagan, they did that. What do we do now? We clearly don't cast lots. That's gone away with. We know we don't look at the stars. We don't look at gypsy crystal balls because you have other voices talking to you. And I can tell you for a fact, you go to a fortune teller, a familiar spirit is going to tell you stuff about you. Not necessarily your future. They could twist it to happen, but it is demons talking to you and you're opening a doorway. I know it for a fact. That's why we don't do that anymore. We have prayer. We have the word. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and it leads us. We don't have to cast lots. We are led by him. But they did this because he was serious and he was doing his due diligence amongst his God at that time. Verse 8. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people. Now imagine, picture his mind. He's the yes man. He's always, hey, my buddy, oh, my king. He's about to go and approach the king with a petition to kill an entire people. You got to understand that. Keep in mind our time, Hitler, and the people in that time who said, let's eradicate them. Remember, they started off nice. You're going to go in these shelters. We're moving you over here. No, this is good for you. So Haman probably came in a way that was really just sweet and loving. And he says this in verse 8. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. Hey, king, I just want to tell you something, or senator, governor, I don't know, president. There's these Christians. They just don't want to follow these laws. I mean, they're not tolerant. I mean, there's pastors out there who don't marry gay people. It's a law. They don't respect your laws. I mean, we made the laws, but they don't want to do it. They are trouble. I think they need to die. Now, that's sort of an extreme for today's times, but there's a lot out there, again, who are saying, how could we move these Christians out of the way? Well, it happened during the Obama administration. He sicked them, like a dog. The IRS targeting conservatives, Christian conservatives. They started doing that because they were in the way of what their agenda was. So here, Haman is saying we need to kill these people because they are not tolerant. Why is it the people who claim to be the most tolerant are the least tolerant of all? You ever notice that? It's my way or the highway. Look at all the people out there, and yes, it's on the left side, who claim to be tolerant, who claim to be for the black person, but are not. They are not for the black person or the minority. They are not tolerant. They are for the agenda. It is a fact. When you got Soros funding you, that's your master, the white man. And I told you guys about Black Lives Matter. They took the millions of dollars that Soros was funding, and the people who started it were living in white neighborhoods with white security guards. So they stole the money. That money did not help any project area. And I grew up in those areas. You live in those areas, government to you is nothing. They don't help out. They really don't. They just promise a lot. They always do these things. And then they point the finger at you that you're not tolerant. There is a conscience that they sear, but there's also the devil working behind them. So this is what's happening here. Here is Haman trying to speak to this gullible king, which a lot of our leaders are gullible. And how gullible is our president right now? Because he has obviously dementia and Alzheimer's. It's a fact, but he's in charge. It shows you where we've come in our society. Is he really to blame? No. Some people say Obama's still running the government. Who knows? But we know he's not. And again, it's still praying for salvation for that man and everyone else there. But they're making laws also. What is our law compared to this? Abortion. No different. Let's make a law so we can kill babies. They're not babies, though, because I say so. It doesn't matter what biology and science says. Kill them. It's okay. Why? Because your government says so. Does everything our government say okay? Is it okay? It's not, of course. We are to honor God above all in every decision of our lives. Is what about to happen here okay just because it's a law? And just because some used car salesman who was slick talked the king into doing it? Of course not. Was it right to try to eradicate the Jews or any other culture? Of course not. Laws don't mean right. They're made by flawed men and women who are corrupt and who are easily corrupted. And we know that because a lot of our laws just serve self, the people who are up there, and they're getting their pockets greased, of course, by lobbyists. Here is the best lobbyist of all. He's coming up and he's asking him, they shouldn't live because they're not following your law. Again, the tolerant people, like I told you before, this, a gay man, transgender, or I don't know what it was, but he was on Facebook or TikTok telling people, remember, these are the people who hate guns. They're still on the left. They hate guns. You shouldn't have guns. You shouldn't know them. They're killing us all and they're violent. This person said, if anyone tries to stop you from going into the bathroom of your choice, get a gun. Aren't you supposed to be tolerant? Aren't you supposed to hate violence? But emotion destroys. Haman's emotion is destroying him, and he doesn't see it. He had a good position. He let pride and arrogance take him too far that he's trying to destroy God's people. And will anyone ever truly destroy God's people? No. That includes Christians and the Jews who will come to Christ. No, because to be absent of the body is what? To be present with the Lord. You're actually reborn once you're dead. Man, that's good. Of course, getting there doesn't seem too good. But here's what's going on here. They're making laws. He made a law that's against a certain people. It's biased. It's racist. It's murder and killing. Just like our laws are doing with abortion. And also eugenics. And also, wait a second, is that person fit to live? There are many hospitals who allow older people to die and have taken part in that because it's just costing money. It's true. We want to decrease the population, right? The powers that be. So you got to start killing people in any way you can. And that's what's happening here. When you stand up for right, when you don't bow down to the people who are in charge, you will get persecuted, even one day, maybe even here, putting us all in camps. You never know. But again, we pray, we fight according to the way God wants us to, whatever that is. We're always called to stand for right. And the Lord will lead you just like he's leading them. He goes on in verse 9. Because they don't deserve to live, king. Verse 9, if it pleases the king, if you like what I'm saying, let a decree be written that they be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasury. So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you. Remember, keep in mind that the Assyrians were known for their drinking parties. And we know that wine corrupts judgment, the Bible tells us. There's a lot of corruption going on right here. You just trust them. A little bit gullible. Here's the ring. Do what you want. But Haman says something very arrogant. I'm going to give you 10,000 shekels of silver, which is in our money, $226 million, over $226 million. It all depends on what the amount of money he's giving for a day's work. Some people say up to a billion. How do you range that? I don't know. But where is he getting all this money from? Well, obviously he's going to take it from the Jews and everyone else and put it in the treasury. But he says that. The money and the people are to you. I'm the king. I don't need that stuff. Here's the ring. Go do what you ever think's fit because they're not following my ways. Now, this also tells us a little bit about people in authority. Presidents in general too. Former presidents as well who seemed very different when they were president and then when they weren't. You ever notice how quickly they age? Isn't that odd? We have to be sort of balanced because we don't know what pressure's on them. Because if Satan is the god of this world and he controls the governments, the Bible tells us, we don't know what they're seeing in the background. We do know there's a lot of wickedness going on in the government, and I mean freaky stuff. But what happens to them? Sometimes they're gullible. Sometimes they won't do what's right because they fear the people just like Saul did. And they don't stand up. And then something worse comes upon him. So this king right here has a nonchalant attitude because he trusted this man. He helped him out. Go kill them. They deserve to die. Well, that's a bit self-centered and shallow and not thinking. But he does it. Take the money. Verse 12. Then the king's scribes were called on the 13th day of the first month. And a decree was written according to all that Haman commanded, to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, to the officials of all people, to every province according to its script, and to every people in their language. In the name of the king, Ahasuerus, it was written and sealed with the king's signet ring. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. On the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. A copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan, the citadel. So the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. So in other words, in the news, destruction of the Jews coming your way. Sign up. Sign up on the dotted line. We'll send you a link where you can sign up and kill your enemies. On that day, all you have to do is find every Jew and just kill them, and you can take whatever you want. Aren't they in your way? Haven't they stopped you from living the life you want? Don't they look at you like they're better? Here's the solution. Call right now. And that's what Christians are, when you stand up for something. And in the end, you see the king and Haman getting drunk. They didn't care too much. Just like our elitists and people in government right now, they don't know what the common folk go through. To them, it's just a second nature. It's like killing a bug. And that's how it was back then. That's how it is right now. Just, again, when Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State, I think it was, Benghazi incident, she let her cabinet die. It was proven. That's why a lot of the computers she had didn't come out. And all this goes to the side because they'll bring you in other news. Remember what I said about when you see this, look over here. And you had the recordings, she let them die. But that's how it goes with governments. They allow people to die because we are elite. We are better. That is what the enemy can do to you in your mind if you don't know Lord. You don't look at another person like the image of God. Even if they're rotten, you lose respect. Just as this king did in Haman. Telling everyone to kill and be prepared for that. Just like that person, the transgender or the gay person said, if someone doesn't tell you, they say you can't go in the bathroom, you get yourself a gun. It's the world we live in. There's laws and there's the breaking of laws. And we know Romans talks about this. So we're going to end it right here. But we ended with the introduction of Haman, who's the enemy of the Jews, and everyone like him is the enemy of the Christian. What are we to do when we find ourselves in this circumstance? What should we do? The whole town of Shushan was perplexed. In other words, imagine, what is this decree? Here's Mordecai. Here's Jews. Kill us. What is going on? And it can slowly go into churches. Oh, you're a Christian. We're going to tax you more. Oh, we got to take this thing. What? You're a Christian? Guns? No. Give it to the people who can really use it to kill you. This is the life that was there, and it could be sooner or later to us. You never know. But even in this, the plot goes up and down. The invisible hand of God is working. Even when we are frozen in fear and we don't know what to do, God is still working in our lives. And we'll see what they do, and we see what we will do if something like this happens to us and we get a bad paper, a bad something. People are against us. Of course, we know to pray, but we just wait and seek the Lord, even if we're freaking out. It's as simple as help Jesus. That's all you got to say. That one little thing can make a difference. I told you a story about my mother who was having a stroke. My sister called me. I couldn't go there. Samuel was young. I didn't know what to do. I was like, help Jesus. And then she was normal again. And I thought something worse happened because my sister was like, oh my. And I was like, oh no. But the Lord healed her because he heard. He hears our cries. Whether we acknowledge him or not, he's always there. And he'll give us what we need to conquer in his name. So let's pray. Father, we do come before you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for these insights. We thank you that regardless of where we are, Lord, you're the one who says you lift up kings and tear down kings. You allow governments, Lord, and we need to know how to navigate in a wicked world. We need to know how to navigate in a government that denies you. They say your name, but they don't know you. We're asking again, Father, that you would just save them, that you would preserve your people, that you would give us strength to endure whatever you want and make us bold for your name and teach us how to stand up for you, Father, not to compromise, just as Mordecai and Esther did not compromise. Remind us that it does cost something when we follow you, Lord Jesus, and remind everyone that following you on this earth isn't a name it and claim it. My best life now. Our best life is when we're with you. It's a struggle. It's what Paul said. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. He's showing us that it's not easy, but we can do it with you. And that's what we ask for in us, in our family, in our friends, that you give us what we need and prepare us for anything that is to come, either from false brothers and sisters, the government, even from our own flesh, that you would continue to remind us to be faithful to you, Lord, and remind us that you're always there, even if we don't sense it or feel you. And you will work out everything for the good for those who are called in you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you, and we'll see you on Donut Sunday. Everyone's favorite.